Chapter 14, verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And I'll read that to you again. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Amen. I want to preach this afternoon on the subject, the insufficient revelation. The insufficient revelation. Amen. You still believe the Lord's in this place? Anybody believe something's about to happen in this place? If I'm supposed to throw dynamite, I hope it's got a short fuse. Amen. Praise God. I feel faith in this place right now. I feel the miraculous in this place right now. I feel deliverance in this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost baptized in this place right now. We're fixing to turn this thing from a conference into a revival service. The Lord is fixing to liberate people in this place today. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost, so that don't matter. You still need to be liberated from some of your concepts and ideologies. Praise God. Amen. Anybody want to know more about the Lord today? Anybody content with where you're at in your understanding of God, but you want to know more about Him? Anybody in pursuit of God today? Praise God. Let's lift our hands and our voices and let's magnify Him. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I did not want to violate your traditional concepts, but I just have a hard time believing that it's taken Jesus Christ 2,000 years to build a heaven. Amen. And I have a hard time believing that if we're supposed to reign and rule on the earth, well, we really need a mansion for in heaven. I've already started out on the wrong foot. Amen. I do not really believe that those mansions in my Father's house is talking about the place that Jesus would prepare is the New Jerusalem, and He's building all of us a single mansion. Now, you can have your concept of this however you want. But when you understand the 14th chapter of St. John, you understand that he is talking about a spiritual abode for the New Testament believer. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. You cannot make one part of that literal and the other part spiritual. It's either going to all be literal or it's all going to be spiritual. The original says, in my Father's dwelling place, in my Father's abode, are many little rooms. Amen. Jesus was talking about a place prepared for us, a place that He would have to go first. I thank God that through the death, the burial, and the resurrection that Jesus Christ pointed to us the way to a new birth experience. It is a place prepared, but the only way to get to that prepared place is to get there through Jesus Christ. Amen. I understand that the entirety of this text is dealing and it's talking about the fact that He would be the way, and the way is truth, and truth leads to life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Amen. He goes on to talk about the Comforter who would come and the abode of God and where we would abide. Amen. I am thankful today that we have revelation of the church and revelation of who we are and where we're going and what we're going to do. And I believe before we leave here today, we're going to have a greater understanding of those things. Amen. Jesus had already mentioned to them, and He said, I cannot allow you to go with me now, but in that day you will go with me. And He went on to talk to them about the fact that He would prepare for them a place. And in His discourse, Philip comes to Him and begins to inquire, and he makes the statement. He said, "Lord, I just want to ask you a simple little thing. We want to see the Father, and if you would show us the Father, it would be sufficient, or it would suffice us. All we're asking is that you would reveal the Father to us and let us see Him." And Jesus' reply was, "Philip, have I not been so long time with you? Don't you know that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father?" Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that we understand that when you see Jesus Christ, you do not see the second person of the fictitious Trinity, but you see God incarnate in flesh. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. He went on to talk to him, and he said, "Now, Philip, I want you to understand that you've got to believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And if you cannot believe me for what I'm saying, at least believe me for the works that I do. I am manifesting the Father to you by my works. When you see what I'm doing, you should understand that this cannot be done by mere humanity. This can only be done by God. And I can only do the things that my Father shows me. I can only do the things that He tells me. And when you see these works, not just what I say, but when you see these works, you should understand that no man can do these by his own ability. For it is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by the Spirit, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. He said, "But the Father, first of all, felt you got to understand, the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth these works. Believe me for the very works' sake. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Not just these works, but greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. 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 He said, "Whatever you ask in my name," he said, "I will do it. If you love me," he said, "keep my commandments." Amen. I wholeheartedly agree with what Brother Key said, that we're not talking about the blessings of God coming upon just anything and anybody. Deuteronomy 28 starts with the fact, if you obey and keep my commandments, if you diligently hearken unto them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And when God finds somebody that loves him, he finds a man that he can bless. And he finds somebody that he can honor. And he finds somebody that he can favor. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice the question that Philip asked. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." If you will just reveal who the Father is, it is sufficient. It is complete. It is enough. But Jesus understood, if that's all that you see, it is an insufficient revelation. If that's all the revelation that you get, Philip, it is not enough revelation. It's not enough just to know who I am. It's not enough just to know who the Father is. Amen. Philip, I'm not just going to let you know who the Father is. I'm about to tell you who you are now. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he stopped with his disciples and he turned and looked at them and said, "I want to ask you a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they begin to answer. Some say thou art Elias, some Jeremiah, some John the Baptist or the prophets. Amen. He said, "Whom do men say that I am? Tell me what your grandpa said about me. Tell me what your uncle said about me. Tell me what Aunt Sally said about me." And when they heard what they said, they were going on the fact
that this was the revelation of God to these people. But he said, it's not enough just for them to have a revelation. I'm going to ask you now, who do you say that I am? It's not enough to go on the preacher's revelation. It's not enough to go on your dad's revelation. It's not enough to go on your mama's revelation. I'm asking you now, what do you see about me? You tell me who I am. Hallelujah. I see Simon Peter jumping up now. Amen. I don't think he sat there and calculated it all out. I don't think he sat there and said, because of my intellect and the fact that I'm intelligent, I've got this figured out. I believe something come thundering out of the heavens. It got deep down in his spirit. And before he knew what he said, he opened his mouth and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. I want you to understand that you cannot sit down and pick this Bible up and approach it from a methodical display. Amen. You cannot just sit down and say, I'm going to figure out who Jesus Christ really is. The only way that you can understand and the only way that you can comprehend, it is not by your intellect. It is not by your own understanding. It's when the Spirit says, come here, Philip. I'm going to show you who the Father is. Woo! You cannot comprehend who Jesus Christ is just from a textbook approach. I taught Bible studies and sit there and try to show it to them, and they keep going back to their little traditional concepts. They try to have three persons of some fictitious trinity, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. Amen. And they keep trying to go back to it, and back to it, and back to it. And you get frustrated. Can't you see it right here? It is. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Can't you understand that? For it pleased the Father that in him, in the man, should dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Woo! Blessed, blessed are thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. But I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is built upon the rock of revelation. Amen. I will say that again. The church is built upon the rock of revelation. Not just the revelation of who Jesus is. I just lost some of you. Amen. That's not the only revelation there is about God. Let me tell you why hell cannot prevail against the church. I'm going to tell you why. Because whatever hell concocts, whatever wisdom that hell comes up with, Jesus said it's the gates of hell. Gates are stationary. He's not talking about some kind of door or gate or entrance. What he was talking about is where the counsel of hell is, where the wisdom of hell is. What he was saying is, it doesn't matter what hell concocts. It doesn't matter what program it engineers. It's the bottom line is that God is going to prevail against it. Amen. Let me tell you why it cannot prevail. Because it does not matter what hell comes up with. Whatever hell throws at you, God steps in the picture and says, I'm going to reveal myself to be the opposite. I don't understand what you mean, but I'll tell you. When hell can talk sickness and comes against you with it, God just steps in and says, it's time for a revelation. I'm about to show you that I'm the great physician. been suing your finances. God steps into the picture and says, hey, I'm about to reveal myself to be the need supplier. When hell comes against you and tries to wrap you up and lock you up, God steps into the picture and says, hell, you cannot prevail because I'm about to reveal myself as a prison door opener. What I'm trying to tell you is, it takes hell to reveal heaven. I need to say that again. It takes hell to reveal heaven. All these Pentecostals coming to BSR and other conferences and hearing preaching, snotting and crying and running to the altar. Oh God, use me, Lord. Oh God, I want to do something for you. Oh Jesus, God, take my life. Take my hands, take my feet, take my tongue. Some of you need to put your tongue on the altar. Amen. Take me, take me, take me, take me. Of course, the altar's not big enough for some. Take me, take me, take me. I'm going to be nice. Take me, take me, take me. I just want to impact people. And the moment you pray that, God went, come here, hell! Hey, he's God's devil. Come here, devil! This is what I created you for. I want to ask some of you something. How in the world can you look at somebody and say, oh, Jesus can heal you? And they say, how do you know? Well, let me tell you who men say that you are. My grandpa told me one time about his arthritis and how that God healed him. And they looked at you and say, well, that's good. I'm glad you're telling me who somebody else says about him. But I'm going to ask you, who do you say he is? How can you tell somebody that he can take you through the midnight hour unless you tossed and turned and said, where is my God? How can you be effective in ministry unless you've been touched with the feeling of infirmity? What do you think that Paul said? I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We need to quit complaining when we're going through it. We need to shut our mouths and say, hey, in this situation, in this dilemma, in this problem, there's a revelation coming. And God's going to show me something I've never seen before. So I'll not complain. I will rejoice. I've heard some get up and preach about stuff, and it sounded good, but there was no feeling. I didn't feel like they were touched. You don't make Jesus Christ an effective high priest. He's touched with the feeling. You know what he says? There's nowhere you can go in this life or death, or the next life to come, that I've not already beat you to it. That's why he's the way. You know what he's saying? You guys just follow in my footsteps. My God. Lord, show us the Father and suffice us. All the revelation of God. The fact that God said to Moses, he said, I am that I am. The Hebrew word for I am is in an imperfect tense, meaning I was, I am, and I shall always be. It also implies and signifies that God is complete in Himself. Now listen to me. A name is descriptive but also restrictive. Yeah, just hang on a second. Amen. Well, I don't understand what you mean by that. Well, you know, if you go through all of the Jehovah's and all this stuff, and he revealed himself to these people in that fashion when he said, I am Jehovah the Shai, or I am Jehovah Jireh. What he is saying is, I'm going to house with Abraham. No, he's Jehovah Jireh. Unless he'd been to the Mount of Sacrifice, and God said, now I'm going to reveal myself to you That's Jehovah Jireh. But it didn't stop there. He's not on Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema. He's the Rock of Ages. He's the Tanu. He's Shammah. He's bread. He's life. He's water. He's the rock. All these things were manifestations of God. It was the way that God was revealing Himself to humanity. But when Jesus Christ came, He said, I'm going to wrap up all those titles. I'm going to wrap up everything that God... That's how come when you get in Him, it is not just, well, I got a little revelation and it has sufficed me. But what He's trying to tell you is, there's a whole lot of revelations I'd like to give you, but you got to be willing to go on a little journey with me. Now I'm going to preach. Amen. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That's the same cry of the apostolics. Lord, if you will just reveal the Father to us, we will be happy. And we have shouted about the revelation of the Father being in Jesus Christ for years now. And with most apostolics, they're just like Philip. If you just show us who you are, it's sufficient. We'll be happy. We'll stay right here. We'll camp right here. We'll make a denomination right here. Well, it just got quiet. Some of you think I'm tinkering with deity and I'm tinkering with your truth. I think somebody's already said it. We're not talking about forsaking something. What we're saying is, Lord, we are thankful for the revelation of who the Father is. And we are glad we have that understanding. And we're going to preach it from now till Jesus Christ comes and takes this church out of here. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith. There is only one baptism. There is only one God. We are not going to get away from that truth and that concept. But Philip said, if you would just show us the Father, it sufficeth us. But Jesus knew, if that's all I show you, it is an insufficient revelation. Well, it's quiet right now. Thou art the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. I'm glad that you got the revelation of who I am. Because now I'm going to give you a revelation of who you are. I say unto thee, thou art Peter. That wasn't his name. His name was Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus said, I'm glad you know who I am, but this picture is incomplete until you see where you fit in the picture. I'm telling you, you are not some wishy-washy, outspoken fisherman, but you are Peter, you are Petra, you are a little rock. You're placed upon a bigger rock, but you're a part of it. Why do you think that Peter in his epistle said, you are lively stones? Why do you think that Jesus stopped one day and said, look, if you hold your peace, these stones, these rocks, he would talk about these rocks over here. He was pointing toward the next dispensation. He said, the rocks will cry out to me. If you bunch of Jews don't want to do it, you just sit there with your little pharisaical attitude. I'll raise up a bunch of Gentiles that'll be called out of darkness into this marvelous life. And they'll show forth the praises of God to me. They'll be lively stones. And we've shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted about who Jesus is. Oh, he's God in the flesh. He's the mighty God incarnate. He's this, he's that. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And the whole time God said, I'm glad you got that. 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 But the same spirit of revelation that showed you that needs to get back on you so you can understand that you are my body now. You are my flesh now. You are my anointed ones now. Apostolics, we're not going to forsake who Jesus is, but one of the greatest revelations of the end time is for the spirit of revelation to get on us and us to understand, beloved, now are you the sons of God? What do you think Jesus was talking about? He said, now, Philip, let me tell you something. If you only see the Father, that's good. But you see what he's doing and you know he's the Father because of his words. But Philip, what's giving me the power to do these things? I'm going to call it the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He's going to infill you. And the works that I do, shall ye do also. And that's where we're missing it. We believe that Jesus Christ could heal the sick. We believe that Jesus could raise the dead. We believe that Jesus could preach deliverance to the captive. We believe in all that Jesus could do. But when Jesus Christ stepped into this earth, he stepped in to say, I am more than just the revelation showing you the Father. I am the revelation showing you yourself. And that's where we have missed it. We've taken this one aspect like Philip, it suffices us. And the whole time the Holy Ghost is saying, that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. What he did, you can do. Where he went, you can go. What he accomplished, you can fulfill. That's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. Yes, you need to know who Jesus is. Yes, he's the mighty God. Yes, he's all of that. But I got to show you who you are now. If you're going to turn your world upside down, if you're going to see it happen, didn't Jesus say that these signs shall follow them that believe? Now you can argue that and debate it all you want to and say it's the collective body. And when you say it's the collective body, what you're saying is, I excuse myself. And let him do it. Now let me read this right. He, not them, that believeth on me. He 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 that has more than just a mental assent to God. He that believeth on me. He that understands who I really am. That I am not just God in the flesh that's come to say, here's the Father. But he that believeth on me. He that understands I'm your elder brother. I am the way. I'm trying to show you every step of it. I'm trying to show you what you got. I'm trying to show you what you have. I'm trying to show you what you can do. And honey, when Jesus went into a town, they didn't just sit quiet and say, Jesus is here. And that's where we got to get to. We've got to see it and understand it when the church gets there. I'm going to meddle with you here a second. Oh, yeah, Jesus could do it. You could, too, if you'd submit. You could, too, if you'd pray more. God have mercy. Jesus said, the only thing I can do is what my Father shows me. The only thing I can do is what he tells me. Why do you think the Bible continually tells us that he went to a mountain to pray? What do you think God showed him those things? Now, we're going to disagree right here. But you cannot prove to me in that scripture that the body of Jesus Christ was a spiritual body. I got Brother Wilson here. To wit, God was in Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man. Oh, I lost some of you right there. The man, Christ Jesus. To wit, God was in Christ. All of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. What He was saying is, look, guys, I'm no different than you are. The only difference is in me dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead, and you just got a little part of it right now. Well, I could sure use a little help right now. Amen. Now, after He died, comes out of the tomb, and Mary looks at Him and says, Gardener? My God, delivered her. She's followed Him for 3 years, and she don't even know who He is. Gardener, tell me, where have you laid Him? It wasn't until He said, Mary. She turned and said, Rabboni. Why didn't she recognize Him? Why didn't the two disciples on the man's road, these aren't strangers to Jesus. He was in the process of glorification. Why do you think He told Mary, don't touch me? And then He comes walking through a wall. Looks at old Doubt and Thomas and said, put your hand in my side and see if I'm not He. Somewhere from the time He told Mary not to touch me until He told Thomas to touch Him, He took a trip and ascended into the heavenlies, took the eternal blood of the Lamb, sprinkled upon the mercy seat, and said, I have finished it just being the Lamb. In that aspect of revelation, now I'm your mediator. Now I'm your high priest. See, it excuses us when we make Him all spiritual. And there's no humanity to it. And so we can say, whoa, yeah, but He's Jesus. Jesus just told Philip, hey, Philip, see what I'm doing? You can do it. Boy, I'm either way off or right on. My God. Philip, you know, you one of these days, you're going to lay hands on people. Philip, one of these days, the church is going to see the dead raised. Hey, one of these days, Peter and John's going to walk by a gate. And they're going to say, children, go, there'll be none, such as we have in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you want. You're going to take Him by the hand and raise Him up. It's an insufficient revelation. The only thing you can shout about is who Jesus is. Jesus is trying to say, I'm not just going to show you who I am. I'm trying to show you who you are through me. Now, let me just work on something here a second. See, Jesus lived, the man Jesus lived a life of total submission. Now look, for some of you who are sitting there saying, that's false doctrine, why don't you tell me what John meant when he said, he that denieth that Jesus came in the flesh is of the spirit of the Antichrist. And he was dealing with Gnosticism. And some preach a doctrine of Gnosticism because they say that his body was spirit. That's contrary to what the scripture teaches. I don't care who says it. If it contradicts the scripture, I don't care if they just raise the dead. If it contradicts the scripture, it's wrong. And what Jesus was trying to show us, who I am, you're the same way. You're going to be my body. You're going to be my temple. You're going to be my mansion. You're going to be where I dwell. You're going to dwell in me, and I'm going to dwell in you. And the works that I do, so you do also. Now. Jesus would go off and pray. And He said, I can only do what the Father shows me. Anointing always starts at the head and flows downward to the body. Anointing always starts at the head and flows downward to how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It was like the ointment that ran down Aaron's beard to his garments. What do you think Jesus' prayer was? I pray that you will be one with the Father as I am one. Because Jesus understood where His anointing came from. It comes from my head. And as long as I am submitted to God, I think it not robbery to be equal with God, because I am not doing anything except what the anointing dictates to me to do and what the head tells me to do. So that means if you're going to move, as he wants you to move, you got to get under headship. That's why the doctrine that you can trim the dead ends and whack it off or burn it off or whatever you want to do with it, honey, you're moving yourself out from underneath headship. Well, I know that's not a popular message in the UPC in 1998, but it's the truth anyhow. Amen. I'm telling you, we need a revelation on headship. We're going around trying to do the work of God, and I want to submit, and I want to be under headship. I'm telling you, the only protection you have, it's not just anointing, but it's protection. And the only protection that you have from the demon world and the spirit world is the fact that you're under the umbrella of God's grace and God's headship and God's protection. We better not ever lose that message. That is where our anointing comes from. Lady, you want to be anointed? You don't get out here and do it on your own. You submit to your husband, and he submits to Christ. Got a bunch of them trimming and whacking and then get off out here having a bunch of prayer meetings and visions and revelations and spiritual stuff. It's a bunch of garbage and a bunch of baloney. You don't even know what spirit you're of. I feel a fighting spirit getting on me right now. Somebody needs to raise their voice loud in this end time and let the church understand the only thing we can do is under his headship. And when you trim it or you cut it, you dishonor your head. Not just your husband, but you dishonor Christ and you dishonor God. Your anointing's gone. Well, I still feel tingles. I wonder who's giving you those tingles. Well, I'm still talking in tongues. I wonder whose tongue you're talking under. You don't even have power to resist the devil. The only power you have to resist is when you submit. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The only power the church has to resist is through our submission. Sit down, you're on my time. Now, brother, when Jesus said something, it happened. I'm going to get in trouble if I'm about to say. Here's where I want to go. Brother, we Pentecostals, the only thing we know about anointing and the Spirit of God coming on us is we got that down. Woo! I feel the Spirit on me. Ah! Has it ever dawned on you? The only reason God wants the Spirit to come on you is so you can jerk your neck around. Oh, I got a blessing. We're the most blessed people in the world. See, what's Brother McClain? Brother McClain, help me. So do something. All right. See, well, I feel one kick me about right there. Jesus lived, submitted, and I believe in prayer, he would step, Brother Keith, past that veil into his eternal nature. And there, he would see it. He would step out of time into eternity. That's how come when he could stop and look at blind people, he didn't hesitate. He said, "Be thou made whole." Let me tell you why I believe he could do that. It's because somewhere over here, he had already seen it. And now what he said, I'm going to do what the Father said. John, see some of your life. He said, I can only do what my Father shows me. But brother, when He shows it to me, I don't care who's around. I don't care what you're bound by. I don't care what's got a hold of you. I don't care what disease is in your body. It's fixing to go. Let me tell you where we're at. We are trapped too much in time. And we are creatures of humanity. And so the only way we see things is through logic and carnality. And so we perceive every situation from our logical mind and from our ability to calculate. Look at us and say, whoa, that's a bad deal. If more of us would learn how to step out of time into eternity. You see, in time there's problems, in time there's sickness, in time there's disease, in time there's tribulation. But in eternity it doesn't exist. And so in time and in your humanity, you are trapped by your dilemmas and you're trapped by your problems and you get frustrated and you wonder what's going to happen. But somewhere in prayer, you step out of time into eternity and the Spirit says, let me reveal eternity to you. I know some of you are going to disagree with this one. That's how come when you come back out, you can speak of things that are not as though they are. Because in eternity, you've already seen it done. That's why it's got to be more than what your grandpa says. You've got to get in there and get a revelation for yourself. I've already been over there where I'm healed. I've already been over there where I'm delivered. Now I may have to step back in time. One translation said, and the Spirit of God brooded over unfinished creation. All of the power of God, everything that was needed to finish creation, was hovering above it. And here we come to church. And here it comes. Feel it. And you walk out of here still bound, still needing deliverance, still sick. Nothing was finished until God said. The spoken word is where you take all this power and channel it. All this that gets on us at PSR. All this that gets on us at Cantney. All this thing gets on us in prayer. We just don't have to, oh my God, it's on me. Somewhere or another, you're going to have to learn the only vocal cords He has is yours. And it's not going to happen until you say it. But brother, when He took all of that power and channeled it through His Word, He said, let there be light. Oh. And there is light. What do you think that Jesus meant when He sent it to the synagogue and said, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He could have stopped right there. To do what? To do what? Huh? Preach! The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. You just hang on a second. See? Sit down. Still in my time. I got a lot of time. Remember, I got two tapes. See, there's an advantage. You knew it was two tape Morgan when you come, so you can't complain. See, when Paul got over to the armor, he come down that list, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Then he come down and said, for above all, taking the shield of faith that you may quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so here's all the apostolics with that little shield of faith. hiding behind their shield. One of those fiery darts. I believe it's thoughts. Flaming thoughts. Brother, you let them stay in your mind, they're going to consume your brain. And so here's the only thing we know about the Word is how we use it in a defensive position. Here he comes.
Shields never kill anybody.
Better be careful, I'm going to beat you to death with my shield. And so the only thing we've learned about the Word of God is how to preach it or believe it in a defensive position. Well, I'm getting fast with my shield. Kung Fu. Shield-a-mania. What? Won't miss. For above all, taking the shield of faith, which is the Word of God. But he didn't stop there. He said, now there's another aspect to the Word of God. He said, it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What do you think Jesus meant when he stood there in the wilderness temptation and the devil kept coming at him? He said, I'll put up with all this. I'm going to put up with it. Now listen to me. He had the name, he had the blood, and he had the spirit. But the devil still got to him. He said, all right, devil, if it's hardball you want, it's hardball you'll get. There's some devils you can't rebuke off. I've tried as I rebuke you. Get out of here. Get out of here. And I said, hey, come here. They brought some more in. I was like, and here's what we do. What's my shield? Where's my shield? My God. Where's my shield? Get the one up here I can hide behind. Where's my shield? I'm sorry. Where's my shield? Some point in time, that's enough. I'm fixing to cut your slimy head off. What? It is written! There. It's coming. That's first wave. Now, just hang on. Trust me, we're not missing anything. Now, somewhere, some point, you're going to have to learn how to tap into your divine nature and tap into the Spirit. Where when you come out, you're not saying what the flesh is saying. You are literally saying what the Father told you to say. And where the word of the King is, there is power. I'm not talking about blab it and grab it and confess it. I'm not talking about just anything you want to say, but I'm going to get it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you step past the veil of the flesh and you step into the eternal realm and the Spirit starts revealing and showing you things and showing you the will of God. So when you come out, you're not speaking by your own authority, but you're speaking by the authority of the Father. For I cannot do these works, but it's the Father that is within me that doeth them. This just kept coming to me. I couldn't get away from it. Here is Saul, anointed king. Saul, your king. Samuel anoints him. He goes prophesy his son's prophets, and all this stuff happens to him. And then when it comes time for him to lead Israel and to step into his rightful position, he said, Saul, where is Saul? Everybody got to look. Saul. You know where they found him? He's over here hid among the stuff. The world. Things, Brother Keith, is nothing but stuff. And here it is. Time for the end time church to step into its rightful position. And we're over here hid among the stuff. They're calling for you, Saul. It's time to do your job, Saul. Israel needs a leader. It's time to come from among the stuff to go to battle. Just put the stuff on top of me. And we got too much stuff in our life to fulfill the will of God. And then when God says, I want you to get rid of the stuff, but God, the stuff hides me. The stuff is my security. The stuff is what I trust in. If I stay among the stuff, I don't have to come out here and do what I'm supposed to do. So just pile some more stuff on me. I'll tell you about stuff. You either come out of it or God takes it. And the Pentecostals are surrounded, just like Pastor Jesus preaching, houses and boats and vacations and trips and this and that and CDs and IRAs and everything you can think of. And then we get a service like a while ago, and some of you scared death, some of you holiness people. And that's how I said it. You won't talk about holy. A part of being holy is having a spirit of Christ. And a spirit of Christ is not what I can get. It is what I can. And boy, we'll come in here and shout when somebody gets on sleeve length or hair length and all that. But you let them start talking about bringing your possessions and putting it on the altar. Hot on the stuff. I'm hiding among the stuff. And the whole time the world is saying, where are the sons of God? Where is the Christ? And the king is over here hid among the stuff. I'll tell you what time it is. It's time to break all the stuff and put it. You might as well give it. It's fixing to collapse anyhow. It's coming down anyhow, honey. Asia's already shaking. South America's about to go down. The world's about to come down. You're about to lose it anyhow. What better way to give it than to invest it in eternity? And before the rapture, just like Jerusalem. Some of you shout, I will revive, I will revive, I will revive. And God says, give me the 20 bucks in your pocket. Oh yeah, but I know if he told you, go out here and lay hands on the blind man. Huh? Did I made whole? You think God's going to talk to you about laying hands on a blind man when you're in an apostolic service surrounded by all this Holy Ghost? He tells you, put your money on the altar. For God so loved the world. What do you think Christ knew how to give? He seen where it come from. He understood his Father was a giver. It's time to come out from among the stuff and to step into our position. That's about 5 or 10 more minutes. Am I on my second tape yet? Hello? Tape man? Am I on my second? Oh, I got plenty of time. Here we are. Sam. Just get ready. Dynamite. Well, I see a bunch of Modesto folks coming up here. Now, here comes the children of Israel out of Egypt. High hand of God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Cloud overshadowed them. When they got to the promised land, And they sent spies. And the spies came back. They said, listen to the terminology. The people be strong. And we be weak. And we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. That is how they perceive. That's the revelation of themselves. You take Israel's problem? They could not come from a slave mentality to a heir mentality. Because in Egypt they were driven. But to go into the promised land, you are led. And so we stand right here on the brink of God's blessings and the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And our problem is we are still thinking like a bunch of slaves. Well, they be and we be. Well, what about God be? They could not enter in because, not because God couldn't and not because God wouldn't. They could not enter in because of perception of themselves. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so are we in the sight of our enemy. And listen to me, however you see or perceive yourself is how your enemy sees you. Because however you see yourself is how you conduct yourself. Some of you want to know what I'm talking about. I got a friend of mine. He was in church praying one day, and man, he was really crying out to God. God, I worry about him. I mean, this guy likes tinkering tractors and lives out in the country, and I never thought dirt or anything else made you a man, but he kind of gets off on that kind of stuff. And he's all a man, trust me. And one day he's praying at church, and, oh, God, tell me what I got to do. Tell me what I got to do to have a Bible. He said, man, Mark, I was expecting this great revelation to come. I mean, I felt the glory of God come there. I was ready. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, put on a suit! Okay, all right, God, tell me what I got to do to have a revival, God. I got to know. He said, the next day I went back to church, same thing happened. Lord God coming there. All right, God, tell me what I got to do. I want to know what to do to have a revival. And the Lord said, put on a suit. He said, God, what in the world is put on a suit that I do with the revival? He said, how you see yourself is how they see you. Act like you believe me for a revival, and I'll give it to you. I'm running to a close. Now, see, some guys come back and said, we can't take it. And here's what the people said. We can't take it. They spoke what they had seen. We can't take it. And here's two others said, hey, they're nothing but bread for us. Let's go take it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They could not enter in according to Hebrews because they would not mingle or mix their faith with what was preached to them. When preaching comes, it is God saying, here's my will. And when you see it, then you need to confess it. When your preacher walks to the pulpit and says, the Holy Ghost told me this afternoon in prayer that God's going to heal people tonight. Everybody in the building that needs healing ought to start confessing, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm healed. Oh, no. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, see, we will believe that for the Holy Ghost. Well, you want people to get the Holy Ghost, you preach the Holy Ghost. And I believe that. And oh, we believe, yeah, faith comes to hear him by the word of God. How can they hear some preacher be sent and all this in the gospel and all and confession his name with mouth and all? But the bottom line is preaching is God saying, let me show you what is in eternity already said. And when you see it through words and the picture of words, then you start saying it. If your pastor, Brother Wilson, walks to the pulpit this weekend, says tonight, 50 people is going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Two things need to happen, confession and obedience. You need to start confessing. Bless God, 50 people are going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. That means I need to go find me a place to pray. When I get through praying, I need God to lead me to somebody and bring them to church tonight. 50 people are going to get the Holy Ghost. You ain't walk out and say,
50 people are going to get the Holy Ghost. My God, that's a lot of folks get the Holy Ghost in one service. I mean, you know, you think they'll stick?
Well, I don't know if they'll stick or not. Why don't you go there in the Spirit where the man of God was and see it like God showed him? Before you go judging everything, why don't you go wherever they've been? Why don't you go see it? That's our problem. We're trying to judge all this stuff from a logical, carnal perspective. And people who are carnal cannot perceive the area of the eternal. They can't understand it. And brother, when you start preaching some of this stuff, carnal folks go,
look out now.
Well, I just don't know if we have revival or not. You're right, you can't. But you just said it. You say why God hates unbelief and doubt so much? It's because unbelief and doubt is nothing but faith in reverse. It's believing what the evil report is instead of believing what the good report is. And God said, I'll not just keep you out, I'll let you wander for 40 years. Woo! You tell you what time it is, it's time for the church to talk back a little bit. Now, here's the deal. Maybe it's just me. But boy, ever since I've been here, this old spirit just dogged me. The last night's prayer, I said, God, what in the world is going on? I said, I'm letting you feel what some of the people are feeling. So, there's preachers here right now that feel so lonely that you are all by yourself. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. You come to PSR saying, you know, somebody just give me a word. Somebody just talk to me. Anybody ever been there before? Man, if somebody just shake my hand and look me in the eye and tell me I love you. Why are we so afraid to help each other? We all come to these meetings and look so nice and pretty and so pretty. Why can't we just be real? Why can't we come down off these little pedestals and say, you know what? I need to help somebody while I'm here. And just listen to me. Brother, when I opened into that, It was like a flood. See, some of you are here today and you're like, why is all this hell? What's going on? God is fixing to reveal something to you. I'm telling you in the next few seconds that people are going to be healed in this building. People are going to be delivered in this building. Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you how it's going to happen. Both of the stories that I use, Simon Peter and Philip, both of those end with authority. I give you authority. See, Peter, you cannot do your job until you see who you are. But I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you lose, I'll lose. And whatever you bind, I bind. They both feel the authority. And where we're at is because we don't see who we are. We just let the devil keep beating our brains in and keep pushing us around and keep slapping us around. And we're going around like, that's just preaching. Poor little penny cough. Poor little me. Poor little me. Wish I could be blessed like that. Oh, man. Oh, boy. You knew where I come from. Oh, wait a minute. To those who are in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become. Listen to me. I will tell you something that you need a revelation on. When you come to Jesus Christ, you do not have a past. There's no past. All things have become new.
And so the devil keeps telling you, you can't have this, you can't. Well, you're not one of them. You're not like this preacher. You don't have that kind of thing. You don't have this. But you just keep shouting out, well, I know who Jesus is, though. But today in the service, Jesus is going to say, but I say unto thee, I'm fixing to show you who you are, so you will release my authority. I'm telling you right now, some of you are fixing to speak some things, and when you get home, I feel it coming on me right now. When you get home, it's going to have already happened. Come on, unbelief. I fought you before. I'll fight you again right now. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to hurry. Let me. Our unbelief, listen to me. This hit me a few months ago, and I've said this a lot of places. We are battling with the spirit of unbelief, but unbelief is not in the power of God. Brother Johnson, Thomas Johnson, are you still here? I was at a service, a year or two ago? Your daughter fell over dead. She's here today. Fell over dead in the service. We watched as God miraculously raised his daughter back from the dead. In the last few months, I've seen miracles. It's not that we don't believe that God has the power to raise the dead and heal the sick and all this stuff. That's not where unbelief is at. Our unbelief is not in the power of God. Our unbelief is in that God can use to fulfill it. Oh, it's not that God can't. It's that God can't through me. But the moment we wake up and say, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. My elder brother said he was the way. And I'm supposed to follow his footsteps. Oh, God. Woo! Somebody, the Holy Ghost is fixing to speak something to you when he shows it to you. Open your mouth. And the moment you say it, you take all this power. And it becomes creative. And into your earth is without form and void. And into your darkness, light's going to come. Miracles are coming right now.
I believe it, I believe it, I believe it.
Come on, get your heart right. Come on, open up your spirit. Come on, some of you are scared to death. Get rid of that fear. This ain't got nothing to do with wildfire. This is the authority of a New Testament believer. I'm sick of it. I have put up with it enough. I've hid behind the shield long enough. Today I'm going to draw the sword. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to give you some instructions. We're first of all going to pray that God... I'm very sincere what I'm about to tell you. I begged God last night. God, more than anything, revelation's got to come today. Brother Keys, you're right. We've lived like paupers and Pentecostals, and we've hid behind our... I'm going to say this, and some of you aren't going to like it, but we've hid behind our holiness. And thought sloppiness was holiness. And we've hid behind our poverty and made it sound like we were humble. What's the difference in a man full of pride if he drives a new car or hides his old jalopy behind the church so nobody can see it? It's all pride. So we're scared to death. Fearful, afraid. Well, what we need today, I'm going to tell you something. If this would sweep across this congregation, we would turn North America upside down in the next 2 years. I'm not after just a goosebump feeling here today. I'm talking about divine revelation sweeping across this place and the Holy Ghost saying, you've known who I am long enough. Now I'm fixing to show you who you are. And brother, when you see this, you're going to speak it. I want you to pray right now the spirit of revelation to sweep across this place. Brother McClain,
Come up here and help me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, if this doesn't happen, we've missed it. We need your anointing right now. We need your spirit to come. We need divine illumination and revelation to come. It is not enough just for us to say, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. But now, Father, show us who we are. Let us understand the mystery of the body. Help us not to have the sin of not discerning the body here today, God. But help us to understand that through your body and through people, you've commissioned us to do these things. Come on, that's it. Pray here just a second. Come on, pray. Father, open up my understanding. Let me see what that preacher's saying. Let me comprehend what he's talking about. Help me to get in my spirit. Help me to see it. Help me to see who I am. Jesus. God, give me a revelation of who I am. I'm a new creature. I'm not a slave to sin anymore, but I'm an heir to promise. I do not have to put up with this binding me. Get ready, authority's fixing to move. There's going to be a dimension of authority coming to this place that some of you have never witnessed nor never seen. When it comes, you're going to start talking in tongues and you're going to start saying things in the spirit that you don't understand. When it gets on you, don't try to comprehend it. Don't try to understand it. Just give loose your tongue in the name of Jesus. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit itself helpeth us. It maketh intercession. You've got to step out of the flesh. You've got to step out of time into eternity. You've got to step beyond your human nature into your divine nature. The devil can beat you if he keeps you trapped in your humanity. You need a healing in your body. Get ready. It's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak divine healing and miracles into this building right now. I ask that the Holy Ghost would fall on this place. I take dominion and authority over every disease. I take authority over every sickness. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I take